flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This, their identity.
Like I said earlier, I think the Pistons, in the market we are, the team that we are, the organization we are historically, they do have to kind of do it their own way. They have to, quote unquote, crash the party. Every time the Pistons are good, it's like no one wants us to be there, right? We have to show up uninvited.
So,
I don't think they can do it like they did 20 and 30 years ago because it's just not the same league. But we can still do it a more physical way than the rest of the league is doing it. And you still have the finesse players like Cade Cunningham, Asar Thompson. Even though those guys, they won't take crap either. You saw Ron Holland. He's actually good friends with Draymond Green. So I wonder if he's taking some stuff from Draymond saying, listen, man, don't take crap from anybody.
Who was it that Ron Holland? Remember a couple weeks ago?
We were like,
he wants to fight.
Oh, the one he wanted to step up against?
It was
Jordan Clarkson.
It was one of the most authentic NBA on-court roll-ups I've seen in a long time. He wanted to go. And, you know, most guys do it the way Thomas Bryant did last night. I'll start getting really irate as soon as I can be held back. Greetings, love the show. And I love beef stew last night. Game was already lost. It was in the second quarter. I would not argue that that game was already lost. It was the second quarter of that game. Well, look, and I got to say, one of my big disappointments, and just kind of a final note here on the Pistons, is when we sat down with Tobias Harris, I loved how much it meant to him to win here and to come back here and to do it again here. I'm not sure I need to see him take another three-point shot. I'm not sure I need to see the moment they have somebody that can take some of those minutes. I hate to say it because Tobias wanted it so bad here and spoke so glowingly of this organization. And maybe that's what you do when you find an organization that just gives you the money you want. But man, Tobias is in a funk right now.
This was my fear, and you knew this. I told you guys before they signed him, I didn't really want Tobias. But I knew everyone in the league was pointing to the fit, you know, the veteran that has done something in this league, help a young team out. I think that can only take you so far before you actually need him to help you on the court. And Renato Tobias is just not helping them on the court enough. And so that was my fear when they signed him. Like, I think he's on the last legs of his, you know, real helpful days of in this league and helping a team. But, I mean, he could turn it around. And it's not like he's ancient. I think he's 32. But still, the wrong side of 30. But yeah, I'd like to see Tobias get it going a little bit here.
I mean, they kind of need him, and yeah. I'm not rooting against him. I think some people that didn't want him here in the first place, and we've heard from you, are in the I told you so place, which is not a particularly, okay, great, good for you. But it would be way more helpful if he could figure some things out. I think the last eight games, he's shooting 38% from the floor. He's got a 1 of 9, a 2 of 9. Last night he was 1 of 8 from three. I know he wants it, but more feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. I love the idea of the Pistons being a physical, tough team. Beef Stew is a force. Teams would fear playing us due to the hard fouls and no BS taken from us. That's from Nelson and Novi. Chuck and Flynn says, yes, they should bring back the bad boy persona. People like to talk trash until they're punched in the mouth. Will says, I need Beef Stew to the WWE. That would be highly entertaining. Chris and Ivan, I don't want to blame bad officiating or whatever non-basketball related things for losses. But whatever other teams are getting away with needs to be addressed, because too often it's not an even playing field, like the goaltend from Reed or the foul on Beasley not being called on, or several things in the Magic game. Well, like I said, feels like they're getting pushed around here a little bit, and they can't do anything about it yet. All right, Bill Belichick said something yesterday on the Pat McAfee show about Detroit, and it kind of being the Lions. I want to know where you're at right now in your recovery. And I'll get to what we mean by that and how you're processing what happened to our football team. We'll talk some Lions today at 11:20 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Twin Peaks. They know about football season's about to end. And all you hope for and all the things you were looking forward to. Well, there are other Detroit teams. They continue to make their playoff pushes, so why stay at home for the games when you can watch them at the greatest sports bar in the country? Twin Peaks, you got hockey action tonight as the gang heads to Edmonton, 9 o'clock. Why go to Twin Peaks? Well, the easiest, it's one of the best decisions you can make. Wall-to-wall TV, cold 29-degree draft beer, scratch-made food, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls serving it all up, including new cocktails. Ask about some of the new favorites, like the strawberry sling or the spicy strawberry margarita, or buy a round of the new mint shot. Again, not many places can boast a draft beer system that pours your favorite beer at an ice cold 29 degrees, a scratch kitchen with hand-cut New York strips, trout and smoked brisket tacos, plus a team of the beautiful, hospitable Twin Peaks girls. Why go anywhere else? If you're looking for an upgrade for your big game party, be sure to order your wings from Twin Peaks. Over 14 different sauces and rubs to choose from. House-made ranch, blue cheese, 4 different styles of wings to choose from. Twin Peaks. Find a location nearest you. Go to twinpeaksrestaurant.com. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Doug Karsh, Gator out sick today. All right. So look, we've had some time to process what happened with the Lions. Bill Belichick was on with Pat McAfee yesterday, and he kind of talked about what cost each team in the postseason and why each team is home, why they're home. And he brought up the Detroit Lions, and here's what he had to say. Okay. So, he says they gave up too many points. We're getting on to 2 weeks removed from this loss. And I said something earlier this week that got some pushback, and I understand why. I said on the air regarding the Lions that when I watched the conference championship games, I knew we belonged there. And the Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl is played, I know we belong there. And people interpreted that as me saying that they should have won the Washington game. And that's not what I meant. What I meant, I didn't do a good enough job explaining this. What I meant is every year when the postseason starts, I feel like there's anywhere between 4 and 6 teams that truly can win the Super Bowl. And it's probably more than that. It's because you see some 6 seeds that kick up their heels or whatever. But I always feel like there's 4 to 6 teams. And every year, that means 2 to 4 teams that have a chance don't end up winning the Super Bowl and or don't even get there, right? I mean, it could be more than that. If none of the teams that I think have a chance to win the Super Bowl get there. And I think simply put, the Lions are one of those teams. What happens in the playoffs is it's almost never chalk. It's almost never a one seed versus a one seed. It happened a couple of years ago, but it almost never does. And you go, okay, why is that? Because even exceptionally good teams in this league have bad days. And you know, we talked about it kind of all season long, and I'm guessing that it didn't really resonate all that much. But, you know, the Lions were flirting with something that they were flirting with, that feeling that they are any given Sunday proof, and they weren't. They weren't. There's really no such thing. It is an absolute unicorn to be that. And you can have a bad game against a bad team and still win. You can have a bad game against an average team and still win when you're exceptionally good. But what's really difficult to do, and maybe impossible to do, is have a bad day in the playoffs and still win. Because everybody's good. Everybody that distinguished themselves over a 17-game schedule is good. And I'm not trying to take away credit from Washington, because they deserve credit. They could have had a bad day too. There are some ugly playoff games where both teams aren't playing at their best. And it has less to do with what the other team does and more with you doing uncharacteristic poor things. And I think amongst Washington taking advantage of it, Detroit was one of those teams that happens every year that doesn't get to the show because they pick a bad day to have a bad day. Baltimore was a one seed last year. And maybe it doesn't apply because it was Kansas City, and Kansas City's that team right now. But Dallas was a two seed. They were one and done. They didn't make it. They didn't win their first home playoff game. Back in 2022, both one seeds lost their first playoff game. 2022, both one seeds were out. So it's not unusual. Detroit was a typical, exceptionally good football team that had flaws. In a cap world, it is more difficult to piece together a team that is without flaws. And I don't think it takes, I mean, personally, me, a couple weeks removed from it, I'm beyond any sort of deep analysis. I think the roster is good enough. I think they're going to be in the mix next year. I'm very confident that they're going to be in the mix next year. And depending on how they navigate contracts coming up, this could be a long run. It's going to be challenging for Brad Holmes and his Disner, the cap guy. But that's all I look at it as. You know, we're 12 days removed, and I simply look back at the Lions and think they're just like a whole bunch of previous Super Bowl contenders that have been in, you know, since we've gone to this format 6 years ago and moving forward. It can happen to the best of them, and it happened to us. The only thing that really, because right now I don't think of this in any way as like crippling to the organization, but if for some reason they don't come back, and for some reason they never get back, then it'll feel like you know, just another massive letdown. But I don't see any reason why they can't be back and get in the postseason lottery again and just hope that they play better.
Yeah, but in the end, do you feel like, I know we're many days removed from the loss, but do you feel like now looking back at the game, everything, do you feel they let the Super Bowl slip away at all? Do you feel like they let one through this year that, you know, or do you feel like, do you accept it? It wasn't their time, because you said, like you said, hey, bad day, bad game. It happens to 31 teams, right? Or at least any team that's in the playoffs as well.
Yeah. Look, there are some teams that enter the season with no shot, right? Yeah. I mean, and this team had a shot. Do I feel like they let one slip away? Yes. Yeah, I do. But they're not immune to what has hit other postseason one seeds and two seeds in the past. Like, these are the teams that are supposed to have the best shot to get there, but there are no guarantees.
I know no one wants to hear excuses, but I actually think the Lions do have a legit excuse. Like, I don't remember what the one seeds that lost in 2022 were, Doug, and the other teams, what exactly what was going on at the time.
I think it was Tennessee and Green Bay, but I'd have to go back and look.
But for this team, I can honestly look back and say, I think they let the Commanders game slip through, but I don't think they let the Super Bowl slip through, because the injuries and the attrition to the defensive side of the ball just would have been incredible to continue this run. Like, they won 15 games, and I'm not going to lie, it made me believe they could continue doing it. But in reality, now that I have time to reflect and look back on it, it was incredible, because it just wasn't really sustainable if you look at it. And then you throw on Amik Robertson, gets hurt on the second defensive snap for the Lions. It just became too much. So for me, I think they almost got as far as you could possibly get with what had happened to him defensively. Now, had they had a full roster, or even had they had Hutch or McNeil or Carlton Davis, then maybe I'd be like, all right, well, this was a chance to do it. But I think at the end, looking at that roster and who they had left, I don't know if it was feasible,
see,
man.
I guess I disagree with you in that I do think it was feasible. The problem is, because of what their defense was on the field, their offense's margin for error was slim. They had six drives that ended without points or a field goal attempt. Like, they had six drives that, the five turnovers and the punt to start the game, and you can't have that defense and have that many empty possessions. And so I do think it was feasible. I think this team could have won the Super Bowl, and I think they could have extended it. What you hope is next year, the offense, which would still bring back many of these critical components, you hope that next year's team should be providing the offense with a more margin for error, where they don't have to be perfect. And they were far from perfect in the Commanders game. Let's be clear about that. They were far from perfect. But that you can get it where they still scored 31 points.
That's what I'm saying. And they still lost.
I mean, how many playoff games does 31 points win?
Usually most of them.
Yep.
And they still lost. I mean, we just disagree on whether it was feasible or not. I don't think it was, because the competition was only getting better. Yep. The worst team you were going to play was the Commanders. And you lost at home.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. A couple weeks removed. How are you processing it? Meanwhile, there's some data about something Lions fans are apparently up to, and I just don't know if I believe it. We'll get to that today at 11:35 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Couple weeks removed, how do you process what happened to our Detroit Lions? I'm pretty simplistic on this. I've said it after the game, and I believe it more and more as time goes by. You just can't get away with having a bad day in the playoffs, and unless your opponent basically does the same, and Detroit did just that. And there's enough here. We belong. I think we belong in the conversation for the best team in the NFL. We'll be in that conversation next year, and I think we'll be in that chase next year. And this is only like a total failure if they just fall apart and never make it back, which is always possible. But I think any objective analysis of this roster would tell you that the pieces are in place. Losing the coaches is going to hurt, but how have you processed this as we are 12 days out? Because, by the way, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, last year we were disappointed after the San Francisco game, for sure, but there was a thrill of just being there. That thrill is gone. This is a different type of playoff disappointment, because this feels, last year, it was a winnable game they played against San Francisco, but it didn't feel like Detroit was clearly the better team in that game. They were really, really good. They made some mistakes. They had some uncharacteristic, but I guess it was all still new. In this case, this is a new thing to deal with. Massive postseason disappointment. 248-539-9797. Lions, all three losses came at home. Is home field that important? That's from Brian in New Baltimore. I think it is. However, I don't think there's a home field disadvantage. Let me put it to you like that. If we get into next year and they go undefeated on the road again and lose a bunch of games at home, if they go undefeated on the road again next year, holy crap. Because they're at Kansas City, at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, at the Rams. I mean, it is...
At North Korea for the international game.
It is a gauntlet, right? An absolute gauntlet.
Yeah, I can't. So, the most optimistic Lions fan can't think they're going to going undefeated on the road next year.
No. Next text. Regarding why the Lions lost, I think there's a good chance that it was largely a preparation issue. We're saying that all these players and coaches didn't have their best game, from Goff to the O-line to Ben Johnson to Aaron Glenn to Dan Campbell. At some point when this many players and coaches, quote, have a bad day, you have to think there was some things they overlooked in preparation for the game. That's Carl in Swartz Creek. Okay, I mean, the only people that really know that are the people inside the building, as far as whether or not they were lacking in some pregame preparation. But, I mean, could you imagine how incredibly unprofessional it would be if you had a checklist of all the things that you did to get ready for a game, and then they were lacking for the biggest game of the season?
You know, to Dan Campbell's credit, he took the blame himself. He said it was his fault. He didn't get him prepared and all that stuff. But I don't blame Dan Campbell completely. I think to back up my support or my reasoning for why they lost is, guys are having bad days. Muhammad had a bad day. Kendall Vildor had a bad day. You know, yep. Pascal had a bad day. Anzarike, these guys only can play so much, so well. And I think to me at that point, you're asking them to do something they couldn't do consistently for a long time. Otherwise, they would be the great players that you look for.
248-539-9797. David, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, David.
Hi, Doug, and hi, Gabe. I mean,
Kang.
Was it Kang? Yep. Yeah, I forgot. Okay, Kang, Doug, and Kang, stop making excuses for the Lions. You know what? I want to come down there to all the fans and you and Kang, give you guys pacifiers, because you're making up these ridiculous excuses. You lost to a better team, Washington. Simple and plain. You know, so I'm just really irritated by all these people in Michigan talking about, bringing up these excuses. We lost because we lost so many people on defense. Stop making excuses. Let me tell you, back in 81, the Raiders were a wild card team, and they went to the Super Bowl, all the way to the Super Bowl, and won it. You folks were all happy talking about, we got home field advantage, we're going to the Super Bowl. No, it just proves that Goff is just that bad of a quarterback. Three interceptions and a fumble. He's terrible. Stop trying to sugarcoat it, because I'm not. What's your response?
My response is, it's a damn good thing we have you around to set us all straight.
Exactly.
Yep. We really value your opinion on this one.
Thank you for appreciating me,
dude.
I will set you straight, because you guys are not saying what needs to be said. I will.
All right. Enough. Do you know what I think? Here's the thing: is I think there are excuses in sports, and I've used this example all the time. I heard a story of a player at a pregame meal that didn't like his eggs and bacon mixed together. This is a true story. And the tray that they brought the food out for the pregame meal had the bacon and the eggs in the same tray. And the player refused to eat the eggs because they were might mix in with the bacon. And he went out and he played a poor game and came back and blamed the pregame meal. That to me is an excuse. What we have cited are facts. No team in the NFL lost as many defensive starters as Detroit. Detroit were without, they were players that weren't there. That is a fact. That is not an excuse, and it's not something I actually want to hear Dan Campbell say, because it doesn't do him any good. But David, it's a fact. It has to do with winning and losing. It is not an excuse. As something that has nothing to do with winning and losing. Like, to me, in fact, an example of an excuse is the one text that said that they didn't, you know, that there might not be home field, like implying that there's some sort of home field disadvantage. Of course there's not a home field disadvantage. Of course there's not. Even though they lost all three games at home. That it's saying, you know what hurt them? Playing at home. No, it didn't. But give me a fact. Give me a fact. And a fact is they didn't have guys. They didn't have guys. 248-539-9797. Dimitri in Southfield. Hi, Dimitri.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that I think that it's going to be almost impossible for the Lions to win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and it's because he's not a mobile quarterback. And if you don't have a mobile quarterback, you don't get to practice against the mobile quarterback all year. And when you get to the playoff, at some point, you're going to come against an elite mobile quarterback, not just a good one, an elite one. And you're not going to be able to – you have to have a defense that's like the 84 Bears to be able to overcome that, because you haven't practiced against it all year.
What about this, Dimitri? Wouldn't a simple solution to be sign somebody who's just simply a mobile quarterback and have them practice against your defense? If this
you
is
could,
true.
But then you don't have Jared Goff practicing. I was thinking you might as well have had Hooker starting from the beginning, because they might have been better off that way, at least defensively, and you keep the offense nice and simple, you know, throwing it to Amon, throwing it to LaPorta, short routes. Then you got Gibbs, then you got Montgomery. You don't ask Hooker to do too much, but at
Dimitri,
least
they brought in a guy who was out of football and put him ahead of Hendon Hooker.
Okay, well, I don't know about Hendon Hooker then. I guess he's not that good. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Look, if you think that the single biggest necessity for a quarterback is mobility, then I will respectfully say you and I have a fundamental disagreement. It is part of the traits that make up a quarterback. Jared Goff's lack of mobility did not cost the Lions on that day. It didn't. He didn't do what he does best, which is really make good decisions with the football. But his lack of mobility at the end of that game, in fact, I don't think anybody said the lack of his mobility cost him that game. Now, you're saying they have nobody to practice against. I mean, who was chasing Jaden Daniels? Jonah Williams? Elquadine Muhammad? Those guys did their best and occasionally stepped up and made a play. But they were asking guys to chase a mobile quarterback who probably wouldn't be in uniform if there weren't injuries. And if it's as simple as having a mobile quarterback to practice against, then sign one and put him on the practice squad and have him practice against your defense. In fact, we've taken on some golf calls. That was a golf call that blamed Goff for the defense. He didn't just blame Goff for the offensive struggles. He blamed Goff for the defense. 97-1, the ticket. I got to tell you, that call, somebody on Twitch just made a great post. And I'm going to use Spark to a thought here. Thank you, FBG25. What was the question you had in the Blitz thingy? Will Josh Allen ever win a Super Bowl?
Well, it's just, will people start questioning if he ever will win one? You know, that, you know, that's how it goes around the...
He's a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, very mobile.
Has he been to one?
No.
People ask the same question about Lamar Jackson.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He's a mobile quarterback. Has he been to one?
Nope.
Our quarterback in Detroit that we had prior to this one, was he a mobile quarterback?
Still not a mobile quarterback, Doug.
Has he been to one?
Yes, he has been to a Super Bowl.
Has he won one?
No, he has not.
Stafford?
Oh, I thought you meant Goff.
No.
I'm sorry.
Stafford is, I said the one prior to.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. The one prior to is Stafford. He's been to a, he's not
mobile. Yeah, he's been and he's won.
And our guy has been to one. But the most mobile quarterback in the league has never been to one. The league MVP, potentially, who might be, you know, as good as many. He's a different style of mobile quarterback, but Josh Allen hasn't been to one. So, yeah, I've defended Jared Goff. Got it. Yep. Goff defender. I also will defend Goff against accusations that Jared Goff is what's wrong with the Lions defense. 248-539-9797. Doug, the Lions lost because they're playing defense without Hutchinson, McNeil, Kaminsky, Davenport, Barnes, Rodriguez, Davis, Rakestraw, and Robinson. Imagine having a 15-2 team and adding all those players back. That's from Joe. I do imagine it, and hopefully we get to see that next year. And I bet they're not as bad defensively. This is a year, by the way, and I've gone to the belief that offense wins championships. This is a year some defense has stepped up. There's definitely been more success for teams that are better defensively in the postseason. And not that these two teams stink, but offensively, but there's a case being made here for the defenses this year. So I'm not so stubborn as to dismiss this. I'll continue to watch, see if the trend is swinging back. In the meantime, we got this sent to us. It's from betonline.ag. They use data from Twitter. Tweets, hashtags, direct keyword phrases from each fan base. And figured out how many posts there were from fans that vow on Twitter to boycott the Super Bowl. These are fans on Twitter saying they're going to boycott the Super Bowl. Not surprising, there were only 347 posts from Chiefs fans about boycotting the Super Bowl, 582 from Eagles fans about boycotting the Super Bowl, which I don't know why you would, but whatever. The top team fan base in the league that tweeted about boycotting the Super Bowl with 24,816 posts were Buffalo Bills fans. Given that there is probably an undercurrent amongst that fan base thinking they have been robbed. 24,816 Bills fans said that they are boycotting the Super Bowl. 22,489 Ravens fans said they are boycotting the Super Bowl on Twitter. In third place, 17,862 fans of the Detroit Lions tweeted about boycotting the...
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Super Bowl. I think it is a bold thing that you say in the moment. I find it hard to believe that people who year in, year out watch the Super Bowl won't watch this year. Now, what do? I went through the motions on Championship Sunday. And even like, I get that our jobs, I'm not going to not watch the AFC and NFC Championship game. But, you know, there's the fan part of me too. And the fan part of me was a little bit dead inside. But but there was no way I was not watching those games. And there was no way, there's no way I'm not watching the Super Bowl. Of these 17,862 fans, are you one of them? And do you always watch the Super Bowl? Can you honestly say that as a person that watches the Super Bowl every single year, that this year you're not watching? 248-539-9797.
I think the definition of boycott is a little different, though, Doug, this year. I think that you have your, you know, the full-on boycott is like, I'm literally not turning it on. I'm not watching it. It's not going to be even viewable in my house or where I'm at, right? Yep. But then I think there's the other end of boycott, which is it's on, but I'm like, I'm going to pay so little attention to it compared to other years that it might as well me not even be watching. You know, I'm going to be playing cards with my friends. I'm going to be just interacting, and I'm going to be around the food entirely. I'm going to be in another room, whatever it is. But I think that's a type of boycott as well. Do you think like Lions fans are participating in like, hey, I'm not even really paying attention. Let me know what the score is so I can find out my squares. That type of pay attention.
I think we're back to that. Yeah, I think there's going to be a good number of people that are back to that, and that I can buy into. If the definition of boycott is I'm not even watching, and you watch it every other year, but this year you're not watching, that's a little bit of I'm not sure I can believe that. But, I mean, over almost 18,000 Lions fans say that. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Aaron in Shelby Township here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Aaron.
Oh, good morning, Doug. I don't know if you're going to agree with me, but I believe Jared Goff is a great fit for our town. And I'm extremely good at my job, okay? And I know he is very good at his job. And everyone has a bad day, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that our team had a lot of injuries this year, and we're not healthy, and a lot of each week those injuries piled up, and the expectations to me, my perspective, you know, they went down. Obviously, you know, week two, I'm thinking Super Bowl. Then these injuries start piling up. I'm like, okay, this is not looking good here. Our team did good all year. I'm very proud of our team, but you know, I'm not kidding myself. I just seen Philadelphia almost put 60 on the Commanders. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Our team beats the Commanders, and Philly comes into town. You know what I mean? I don't think we're going to beat them, you know, not healthy anyway.
Well,
you know,
I mean, look, I would say the same thing. If they had beaten Washington, I think the same thing would have applied in the Philly game, and that is the offense is going to have to be, and not mistake-free, but their margin for error was because of where the defense was and because of the competition in the postseason being better, it was whittled down to zero. Now, they beat some talented teams down the stretch, including Minnesota for the one seed. And that was with that same defense pretty much. And they held them to 9 points. You know, they beat the Packers in a game that had that little margin for error kind of feel to it. And they didn't, you know, they barely won the game. And that was how they were going to have to do it. It was going to be tougher. There's no doubt about it. And like they did the opposite of what they need to do. They turned it over 5 times. And I mean, the Commanders won the turnover battle against Tampa 1-0, won the turnover battle against Detroit 5-0, lost the turnover battle against Philly 4-0. You know, this isn't, you don't need to brace yourself for some deep football analysis. It's pretty simple. James is next. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up?
Good morning. Listen, I just think that the Lions could have won that game, but for like 3 or 4 plays. Goff made maybe 2 or 3 bad decisions. Ben Johnson made a bad call on that 3rd and 1. I don't know why we didn't run the ball. We went to pass and we ended up fumbling. But all in all, the Lions had a great season. Now, I've been a fan since, I don't know, since I was about 9 years old, and I'm 74. And I'm still rooting for the Lions.
Well, there's no reason to stop rooting for them. And the good thing is, I don't know how else to say it. And I've said it a bunch, and I'll say it again, and that is simply, there is no reason to think that this team's run is over. There's no reason to think that. They got the most important thing you can have, and that's the roster. So, it's never easy, and nothing is guaranteed, and that's certainly to be acknowledged, but it is also they got the most important thing. They've got the roster. And they don't have to do anything special this offseason to come back with a better roster, right? Do they have to do anything special? Or are they just going to come back with a better roster by merely existing and getting healthy? And maybe that implies more luck than people want to talk about, but you know, you can't. Sometimes injuries are bad luck. 248-539-9797. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback. Scott Harris, Tigers president, spoke yesterday. Some interesting things. And I got a theory I want to get to regarding the Tigers. We'll do that today at 1220 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.